so that we can have a better discussion. Perhaps the distribution of the room is not enough, but let's try to sit around the table. For those who are newcomers who are here for the first time, let me tell you what this session is about and what this LAC strategy is about. Perhaps you might have heard about the LAC strategy for ICANN. This was a strategy created by the ICANN community. Well, there are certain projects that have been established. This was created 2 years ago. And now, in our ICANN meetings, we have a session devoted to an update of this LAC strategy. So this is the idea of this session. And of course, we have the opportunity that if any of you would like to participate in the strategy, okay, we will welcome you to participate in our projects. We will give you a general outlook of this strategy presented by Rodrigo Saucedo. He's the project manager for the Latin American region. And we will see then the main project groups. These are not individual projects, but groups of projects. Some of them are related to the CCT development projects. These are the country codes and Carolina, who is the director for the CCT of the organization in the region, will present these projects. Then we will speak about LAC-RALO-related projects. LAC-RALO is the organization, the regional organization, gathering internet users from the region within ICANN. So Alberto Soto, who is the chair of this RALO, of this organization, will introduce these projects. And then we have a very concrete topic, and this is the DNS Observatory. And we have here Hugo Salgado. He's the leader of this project, and he comes from Chile. He's representing NIC Chile. We also have something important to mention about ARIJ, and in this case, Devanand will speak about this. Tony Harris will speak about the roadshow. The roadshow is one of the initial projects for the LAC strategy, and this is a project that is an ongoing one. This project has different stops in different places around the region, and there or it is divided in sub-regions. We have one roadshow for Latin America, Central America, and Mexico. Then we have another for the Caribbean region, for the South American region, and another for the Indian region. And we have already finished with the first round, and now we're starting with the second round of this project. And the idea is to create awareness among the different stakeholders with topics such as IPv6, resiliency, stability, and security of the DNS, and UDDLDs as well. And then we will have Banda Scartesini. She will speak about LAC space. Many of you yesterday attended this session, which is called LAC space, but which is also part of the projects in the region. Now, since our region is hosting this meeting, we have plenty of time to have an exclusive, a dedicated session to present the progress of this strategy and to discuss the other initiatives. So welcome to this session once again. And Rodrigo, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. This is Rodrigo Saucedo speaking. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you here in our region. As Rodrigo said, this presentation that I will give to you is a general summary of the development and progress of the strategy during the last month. Have you got the presenter computer ready? As I As Rodrigo mentioned before, this is the agenda. I will give you an overview regarding the strategy, and then we will have the presentation by the strategy members. They're working on different projects, and they will speak about what they had been doing in the region. I see new faces here. I see people who are not actively participating in the strategy. So I believe it is important, perhaps, to tell you a little bit about the background. The strategy, the regional strategy, is not an ICANN strategy. That is to say, it does not mean that ICANN has developed this strategy and said, OK, we will take this region, this strategy to the region. On the other hand, this regional strategy is an effort by the community and about 16 community members from the Latin American and the Caribbean community were appointed to carry out this effort and create this strategy with representatives from all the sectors. This strategy was based upon four important areas: political issues, capacity building and outreach, operations, and economic issues. And the idea, of course, once this strategy was launched, was that the implementation was based or should be based on community efforts, that is to say, on regional working groups. Let me tell you a little bit about the timeline for this strategy. This strategy was presented in the Beijing meeting in April 2013 by the community. And from then on, throughout 1 year till May 2014, the community agreed upon to implement five pilot projects. These five pilot projects had to do with the roadshow. One of them was the roadshow, and then I will explain further. Then we have the LAC Space project. Yesterday we have a session devoted to that project for LAC Space. Project number three was the communications project. This is a project covering other projects related to communications, and this is an effort to communicate with the Latin American, the Caribbean community, and to communicate different topics such as political issues, economic issues, which are relevant for our region. As from June 2014, the community was presented with an implementation plan. This implementation plan set two implementation periods for the other project. So the first implementation period goes from August 2014 to August 2015. And this is the period we are now. We are now finishing the implementation of that period. And the second period goes from June 2015 to June 2016. Now, let's see this translated into figures. As you can see on the screen, there is a pie chart. In orange, we have 15. These are the initial projects, the pilot projects I mentioned before. I didn't tell you there were 15, but in fact, they are 15. Because some of the projects were grouped, because they were interrelated. For example, the roadshow had different or several projects with the same goal. So it was decided to group them into one big project. And the same applied for the communications projects. They were all aimed at improving communication in the region. So what we did was to group all these sub-projects into other projects in one big project. So the second period goes from August 2014 to August 2015, and this is the period we are right now. We have 36 projects that are being developed in these projects. And for the next period, that goes from June 2015 to June 2016, we have 24 projects to be developed. Now, when it comes to implementation on this first implementation period, we have already started with 28 projects, and there are 8 that are still pending. And these are projects related to improving the DNS industry in the region. Let's talk about the Latin American Caribbean engagement in the LAC strategy. We have 31 people participating in one or more projects of the strategy. We have 14 people coming from the Caribbean region that are participating. And from the original working group or the original group that began the regional strategy, there were 16 in all, and 9 members are now working actively in one or more projects. And there is a list of all the community members that are working on different projects. This presentation, of course, can be downloaded from the session link. How do we communicate, or how we do inform the community about this strategy? Well, the ICANN staff for Latin America and the Caribbean has a newsletter that is delivered or circulated for the community. And there is a special session in that newsletter devoted to updates regarding the regional strategy, updates about the progress that is being made. The regional website, which is also part of one of the projects, of one of the communications projects in the region, has a special link to learn about the different news and updates related to the LAC strategy. Alex Danz, who is the communications manager for the Latin America and the Caribbean region, is constantly informing the community throughout the social media and Facebook. She's informing all the relevant updates coming from the regional strategy. And we have a webinar, a monthly webinar, which is open to all the community to inform the progress that is being made in the strategy. And on the other hand, we are also participated, and I personally have participated 4 or 5 times in the LAC RALU monthly meetings. So in that community, updates are also being delivered. In general terms, that is the progress of the strategy. This is an overview. However, and of course, you will hear other participants who are involved, but I see many new people, many new faces. So I invite you all to participate in this strategy, because we need to realize that this strategy has been created by the community and for the community. And for this community to be successful and for this community to be impacted by this, we need your engagement. Thank you. Hello, Carolina Guerra speaking. Good morning. From the LAC TLD experience, and taking into account the great amount of projects involving CCTLDs and LAC TLD in this first stage of the strategy, I would like to talk about And may I have the slides on the screen? So I would like to tell you about the progress of these first stages. First of all, I would like to tell you that in order to establish the different guidelines for the project related to the e-learning training, this was one of the projects identified in the strategy. And in order to identify the needs in terms of offer and demand for technical topics, in order to cover the grantship of the fellowship program, we established and we developed a survey among the CCTLDs. This survey was carried out between early December and February. It was not perhaps the best time of the year to carry out the survey among the CCTLDs, but this was important for the CCTLDs, and it was a way to inform and document the real needs of this community in order to cover the different projects, and it was a way of cover this in a proper way. So in this survey, we have a high rate of response, but it is open, and we asked the members to complete this survey within these 2 months. And based on that documentation, based on that information, we detected the most immediate needs, or at least the most urgent needs that were also aligned with the ICANN strategic plan. So when it comes to the e-learning course or training course, we realized that there was a common space between the ICANN strategy and the CCTLD needs to develop modules regarding DNSSEC. So that was the topic that we took to develop our work. We have trainers, and we have an initial design of the topics and the curricula for this module of the training course. So with that, we covered this main course for this project. I should say that the course has not been implemented yet. We're working on the contents, on the curricula. We are on the way, and we're expecting to have that ready on the following months and to have the e-learning platform as well. Project 4.6.1 is a project that is related to the need to develop a business view for the CCTLDs. Not all CCTLDs have this orientation or want to develop this orientation because they are oriented to something else. As you know, CCTLDs define their orientations and policies based on their communities and based on their needs. But this project comprehends the whole community, the whole CCTL community that are part of CCTLDs and LACTLD today. All the CCTLDs need somehow to be sustainable. They need sustainability. And this sustainability is ensured and guaranteed in terms of renewal rates for domain names, in terms of the growth rates for domain names, and as long as these rates are kept healthy. So all TLDs, new TLDs, legacy TLDs, or existing CCTLDs need to invest in infrastructure. They need to invest in developing their technical capacities. They need to invest in hardware and human resources. And all this requires investment. So even when not all CCTLDs, as I said before, are constantly thinking about being more commercially attractive or competing in the global market, They just want to have a good presence within their own community. This is the most important aspect we took into account, and this is what we are working on. We have a CCTLD, and we're developing new survey mechanisms to compare data among the countries, among regions, among historical and new GTLVs. And we also have strategies based on case studies, which are really, really relevant to determine the growth of CCTLDs. Some of them have to do with a policy review. Some others are related to other aspects. And this is important for the Latin American and the Caribbean region, because this is related to the development of different channels, such as a registrar. So this is a strong working line that we are exploring at this time. And we are moving forward, and we are considering it as one of the outcomes, specific outcomes of this project. We had a workshop on Saturday, and we invited different development to develop ideas in order to create a channel for registries and registrars in our regions. And of course, we are expecting the final report that will be ready by the last week of September. We have a consultant devoted to this, and of course, he will be taking into account LAC-TLD information, and we will be developing a final report with different sections. We have the proposal for the resellers channel, then we have another proposal so as to think about the factors that are conditioning the domain name selling price in the region, CCTLDs, the policies, including certain topics such as second level domains or short domain name or factors that are limiting the limiting the capacity of a CCTLD. So these are the sessions that we will be exploring. And then we have the internship project. This is a project that is intended to identify the needs that are not fulfilled and to generate collaboration networks that are existed that are existing right now in an informal way in the CCTLDs of the region. And in this sense, we found three areas of interest to develop the internship program. The first issue is EPP, then DNSSEC and IPv6. And this is the result that was obtained by the survey and the amount of responses for each of these items. So we will develop this program, this project. This is already confirmed. This will take place on the first, or on 1 week in October. There will be an internship project for the development of EPP. There are two registries that are related to this with the colleagues of the .br. And now we will keep on developing capacities. We will keep on working on this project with .be. And now we are defining the counterparts for the second project, which is the internship project for DNSSEC. We have many TLDs with needs in terms of EPP. However, we also need to develop other needs. So we are now developing the DNSSEC area because we have realized that there are relevant needs to develop this internship program.
Gracias.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I am Alberto Soto. I want to thank both Rodrigos for our achievements. Let's see what we've done. La Carralo had a training plan already designed. We had conducted surveys in the region to check the profile and knowledge of our people and determine who amongst us were able to give training on certain topics. The topics that we were not able to teach ourselves, we should be looking within ICANN who was going to do that. Rodrigo de la Parra initially informs us about the strategy plan, and we confirmed they were completely complementary. Now I'm going to refer to each of the projects. 2.7.1 are webinars. Within our training plan, we had one training for each monthly meeting for approximately 20 minutes. Either we invited someone or we gave the training ourselves, depending on the topic. So we still needed something else to move faster. You should remember that training is useful not only to acquire basic knowledge, but we also have to give advanced knowledge, which are basically oriented to leadership training. So in coordination with both Rodrigos, because Rodrigo Saucedo comes into the team, we organized a monthly webinar with different levels. It provides training on the basic level and also an advanced level. We already had the topics, the themes, in a coordinated manner through dialogue. We made progress on this. We still lack some training in the region, some participation in the region. We are trying to push participation. We succeeded in getting a Colombian university to issue certificates. ICANN will issue certificates. I think every three webinars there will be a certificate. We've opened up participation. We are inviting small groups to join these webinars in a region which are in English and Spanish. The next, if I'm not wrong, will be students of that university that will take the webinar in a relatively high number. So we're going a little bit beyond. We are ourselves doing outreach. The topics discussed are in ICANN Learn, there are some courses. Sorry, that was a different project. Let's move on. There is a trivia contest. Three of us are to be blamed for this contest, Rodrigo Saucedo and two other members of La Carralo. We had a lot of fun in designing this contest. We promised that it will be better next time. Now, with the experience acquired, we will implement some specific techniques, and it will be better. It was born. The community had asked me, as ICANN meeting was going to be held in our region, I was asked to get as many attendees as possible, not those of us who have positions in the organization, but also members of the organization. Rodrigo de la Parra said there was some funds allocation available, and we decided to organize the contest on questions, trivia about ICANN. We had a lot of fun. At the beginning, we started with 1 minute, and eventually we ended up with 4 minutes because 1 minute was insufficient. That's something that we have to change. We used Facebook to enable the participation. we found that some could enter Facebook and some had good scores, but they were members of ALSs. Let's see how we solve this issue in the next edition of the trivia contest. The winner was a person from the Caribbean, Morgan, Bartlett Morgan. I haven't met him yet. I'd really like to meet him and make him a member of our group. And I have not much to say about the trivia. Let's move on. E-learning courses 2.7.1. I Can Learn provides courses in several languages. In Spanish, there are several. There are very many in English. Anyone can take them. The topics are quite broad in their scope. These courses do not overlap or interfere with e-learning courses in I Can Learn. They are complementary. I said we need courses at different levels. Well, these courses will also have different levels, as it was the case with webinars. We'd like to have them more interactive to prevent the person from getting bored just by reading. So we want to use teaching tools to have a better reach to the student. Just reading too much might get the student bored. So the courses will be divided into shorter segments with video. I don't know if we'll be able to get interactivity in some of them, but it will not be just reading. I dare say now that in the future, at least we will try to do some interactive courses. That is all I have on this topic. Thank you. I am Hugo Salgado. Good morning. I'm from NIC Chile. The project I will present is the Latin American DNS Observatory. Just wait a minute for the slides. Well, I will start by explaining the background, the history. In NIC Chile, we had this idea of conducting a study on the internet resiliency in our country and in the various levels of importance within the network and the protocol. DNS was one of the basic ones. There are studies at physical level and at PGP level. And this study was conducted in Chile. We are now preparing the final report in coordination with the laboratory of NIC Chile and via Carolina Aguirre from LACTLD. She contacted us. We expressed to her that we were interested in a project like this on a Latin American vision of DNS monitoring. So basically here we combined two topics just by chance, as it usually happens. So we set up a working group with members from LACNIC, and members from Inatel Brazil who are here, Antonio and Victor. And so we started giving shape to this project. We had experience on similar studies conducted in Chile, so it was easier because we had a baseline. What is resilience in DNS? It's the ability to maintain an appropriate level of response in case of attack or unexpected events. DNS operates normally because it provides certain margins for high loads in Chile. However, we've had natural disasters and other events that have given us experience on how to work with resiliency. In addition, in our region, there are DNS attacks that our customer is, so we have to be prepared. How do we measure resiliency? How do we work with resilience? By measuring. Measure the current status of affairs to see what technical improvements we can make, and then move on. The next one, please. As I was saying, there are different levels above and below the DNS. The DNS can be considered an application above the internet layer that is below. So in our study that we are conducting in Chile, we are addressing each one of these layers. On the basic level, we have the interconnection, the physical interconnection. We are therefore checking what is the condition of the wiring in the country, the data centers, the power supplies. These are critical components that we identified after the natural disasters experienced. On top of the physical layers, there's the BGP routing portion. Basically, it consists of drawing a diagram to see where the internet packets travel within and outside the country, which are also critical components to maintain resilience in case of events. The next layer is the DNS, which is the one I will explain later in further detail. And on top of that, there are critical applications, certainly the web, and for some years, instant messaging, WhatsApp. There is this theory. In Chile, there were two major earthquakes, and one of the theories was that in the second earthquake, a couple of years ago, the interruption of communications among people through WhatsApp, it wasn't so bad because of WhatsApp, because of its high penetration. So that makes it critical. At present, the ICANN project is focused on DNS, but in the future, we will see, based on the experience acquired, if we can expand it. The next one. So the purpose of the observatory is to have a series of points of technical measurements of authoritative and recursive DNS servers. What are the purposes? To improve knowledge, as I said before, to be prepared to gather statistics on how technology improves over time. One of the things we see in our country is that there are lots of ideas on how to improve resilience. These are technical steps or measures that we could request, the TLD could request the people to have a minimum standard. But before imposing a restriction or such technical improvements, we have to take measurements to see if there is any positive effect. The third objective is to measure the compliance with standards. That's something very important. The fourth is to have better practices and develop reports. And the last is to promote the cooperation among the various actors. We have the authoritative server in NIC Chile, but the other part is also very important. So we want to enhance cooperation here. And the intention is to have biannual reports. I wish we could have them in shorter term, but as we are measuring trends, I don't know if it makes any point in having them monthly. The measurements will be both active and passive. The active measurement is when the observatory nodes will go out and take measurements on the network in a voluntary or active manner. Passive measurements is when you set up a device in the network that is listening and gathering real-time information. Both are important because of the profile of the people involved, we are going to start with active measurements. The idea is to have continuous and systematic measurements to develop trend reports. So this should be done every 6 months. The monitors or the probes installed in various strategic places from the topology point of view, network topology, well, again, the idea is to deliver reports, trends, and communications for the community. Let me now explain what are the metrics we have agreed to take with the members of the group, which are the most important ones. These metrics are similar to those we're doing at CL and similar to others to those taken in other TLDs. There are possibilities to expand this, but this is the starting point. The topology of authoritative servers would give us the number of servers per zone and the diversity in the network. If they come from various AS numbers or different IP blocks, these are recommendations that take several years. And the purpose of this recommendation is to improve resilience. With this data, we can make a diagnosis of the current status of the network. Then compliance with the standards, the eDNS will be measured. It's an extension of DNS that's been around for 10 years approximately. Then response to wrong queries, something that was fashionable or started with IPv6 a few years ago. So the idea is for DNS to continue growing, DNSSEC and many other applications that want to use DNS to store various types of data. Digital certificates, PGP signatures, etc. So a DNS server has to be prepared for that type of technology. And for that, there is a technique that is based on wrong queries. And finally, TCP support, which is also very important because of the DNSSEC and IPv6. There is this tendency to get too focused on security. There are people observing attacks in real time. We didn't want to do that because there is an extensive industry and products that already do this. So we wanted to focus mostly on resilience, which is also very important in terms of security, but not so much in terms of support for attacks or virus analysis, which is quite extensively used as well. So for this, it is very important to do random port and recursivity checks. And as I said, before the development of new technologies, DNSSEC support and IPv6 adoption, both in transport, in the protocol, and also the support for 4A registries. What are we doing now? In our group, we have already produced the first report. We have identified the metrics to be measured. As I said, we have some experience in NIC Chile, so our software is ready for measurement. And we are in the stage of installation of the first monitor funded by ICANN. to be installed in Chile, and we hope we will start next month with the first active measurements. It would be very important also to get the support of LAC-TLD, to get the support of the CCTLDs of the region. This active measurement starts with a list of domain names. So we need to have, for example, the status of the domain names of the region from all TLDs to do analysis. In our working group, there was this idea as well to use domain name rankings of public knowledge, which are also useful, such as the Alexa ranking and others. The idea is to have a snapshot of the status of the domain names in the region as an input for measurement. The first report is expected by the end of the current year, because then a month is required to analyze the measurements taken and produce the report, and the intention it's the slide says active measurements, but it's wrong. It should be passive measurements. And here we should have the support of other agencies in the region, such as LACNIC, and then on-demand reports. This is because there may be some reluctance to disclose private data. Someone could be afraid that the impact would be negative if I accept there is a weakness in my network. So the idea is to give generic names. Do not give a specific name so that everybody can improve together. For certain TLDs, we might give some further levels of details for use within their specific region. That is all, and I'll be around the entire morning. So any question you have or idea on measurements, cooperation, collaboration, I'll be happy to talk to you. This was presented in the LAC-DNS forum, and there were there some ideas on compliance with IDN. So any idea will be welcome. Thank you very much.
Muchas gracias, Hugo.
Rodrigo Saucedo speaking. Thank you very much, Hugo. Now, Devanand will talk about the project, the outreach project for the Lacrallo community.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. My name is Devanand Tilaksingh. I'm from the Trinidad and Tobago Computer Society from the island of Trinidad and Tobago in the Caribbean. I've been a member of LAC-RALO since its inception and served on the At-Large Advisory Committee and as a LAC-RALO Secretariat. So one of the projects I was assigned was this was the that's not the correct slide being shown on the Adobe Connect, but I was assigned to a project regarding the outreach project. Specifically, the objective as quoted was to support the LAC-RALO community with outreach in the Latin American and Caribbean region. So there are two travel slots allocated for this process and for this project, I should say, sorry. And what happened was that in between the formation of the launch of our large strategy, ICANN itself developed a program, and it was called the community, and you know ICANN loves acronyms. The project name was called the Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program, or the CROP. So the CROP program, just to give some background here, was that it was a program that applies for all the various advisory committees and the supporting organizations to allow them to make outreach travel requests independent of the fiscal year budget requests that we know that all the ACs and SOs typically make each year. So each AC and SO was assigned up to five outreach trips or for. So that, and for the at-large, it was five trips assigned to each relo. So LAC-RALO was assigned to five such trips. And what the crop program also did was that it had a set of rules by which the trips could be done. We had to get approval from within the RELO, and also it also had to be approved by the Global Stakeholder Engagements VPs, in which in case is Rodrigo de la Parra from the region. So it was decided that rather than kind of try to come up with a separate program with its own separate rules, it was decided, given the level of transparency, given the level of detail, and given that the purpose and goals of such proposals have to be published and made transparent, it was decided to use the crop program to for this purpose. So for this year, Juan Manuel Rojas from who was right here attending the session was selected, and a second trip was originally allocated for possibility of someone from the GNSO region, for the GNSO from the LAC region to take advantage of this, but that that opportunity fell through, and I was afforded the opportunity to file and apply for the application and get approved. So the approval process was that it's as a two-step process. One, it required approval of the LAC RALO leadership, Alberto Soto and Herberto Carrasco, the secretariat. And then what we also did, we submitted it to what is called the at-large crop review team. And this is a process by which the at-large community, all the five RELOs decided to do to pool, to have this review team review all of the applications from all the regions. And then once that approval was obtained from that review team, submitted to the relevant global stakeholder engagement person from that region. So those approvals were sent to that crop review team, and of course also to Rodrigo de la Parra, which was then approved. So the crop program is concluded for this year, and a new crop program has started for FY16. And part of the new developments for crop FY16, and I've been having discussions with Rodrigo, well, with both Rodrigos for that matter, is that because one of the challenges was that there was a lack of notification of what events could be, what kind of outreach events were in the region. And one of the stipulations of crop is that you have to submit, you know, in order for constituency travel to, you know, make the bookings and so forth, constituency travel needed 6 weeks to before any request is filed. And so what we had, and for the crop program for at large, we set 8 weeks for a minimum before any travel takes place, because it gives 2 weeks for review, approval by the at large crop review team, and approval by disapproval, for that matter, by the Rodrigo de la Parra. So one of the things we are going to be looking at is establishing a outreach calendar and looking to seek a way to have that more public and to get feedback from the community as to what could be suitable outreach events in Latin America and the Caribbean. And we'll be working with to have that such a calendar published soon. I think that's a good summary of the project, and open to any questions.
Thank you, Dev. We'll wait for the questions to the end. Next presenter is Anthony Harris. He will be telling us a little bit about the Roadshow program.
Good morning, buenos días. Voy a hablar en español. This is Anthony Harris speaking. Good morning. I will speak in Spanish. Sorry, I was in another meeting. So if I'm not wrong, I have to speak about outreach, right? Great. So you have to, Rodrigo de la Parra, roadshow is your topic. Anthony Harris, okay, roadshow is my topic. So I will try to tell you about the enthusiasm that I had when I participated in these activities and when we started in the LAC strategy to speak about these outreach activities in the region. When we discussed this in the project, we had the opportunity to develop some roadshows. And I had the chance and the opportunity to participate in some experiences. We had a one first opportunity in Guadalajara with the WITSAT event that was held last year in October, if I'm not wrong, Rodrigo. And to tell you the truth, this was a very important and interesting event. Fadi Shahadi was there. And what we did was to call the ISPs sectors, at least that was my part of the job. We did it. They came from Mexico and from other areas around the region. And taking into account the topics of interest for an ISP, for example, a telco company, we decided why it was important for them to participate within ICANN. We have a reasonable attendance. There were around 25 or 30 people. And we presented an overview of the ISP sector within ICANN. We presented the topics we were working about. And we also spoke about new domain names at that time. And that was a new opportunity for ISPs, because ISPs, on many occasions, need to buy domain names for their customers. So that activity is closely related to what we do. And we also talk about the possibilities to become an accredited ICANN registrar. Not many people really know about this possibility and what this is all about. And we also spoke about the application round to become a registry. And as I always say, this is to operate the generic top-level domain. And the of course, the round was closed at that time. But we knew that on April, a new round was going to be open for applicants. So we spoke about that. We also spoke about some other topics that might be of interest for them in their call centers, such as calls from new domain name users, that is to say, users with new domain names on their email addresses, and some resolution issues that they might have in terms of software definition or portal definitions that were adopted in many parts of the sector, especially in terms of home banking or online transactions. For example, when someone wants to complete a transaction, that person might receive a message from the Bank of America or the Citibank saying or reading that the address is invalid and they need to use .com or .net. And this, of course, goes against the adoption of these new domain names that are now being launched to the market. We have more than 6 million new domain names that are assigned or registered in the world. So I repeated this experience. It was not exactly the same, but the content was more or less the same. So we repeated this experience thanks to the invitation and as a sign of courage of the fellows. This was an invitation by Wanda Spere Peña. She's a professional. She was a fellow. She's an ISP provider in Santo Domingo. So when she learned about this and when she learned about the process in October in the fellowship program, she came to me and asked me to deliver a presentation in Santo Domingo so that the ISP sector in Santo Domingo was able to learn about ICANN and its potential. Since I had to go to the United States, thanks to Rodrigo and Chris, I was able to get to Santo Domingo, and we were able to create, in fact, Wanda did it at Indotel. Indotel is the communications regulator for the Dominican Republic. So there were more or less 50 people coming from the official or governmental, the ISP sectors, the software sector. There were some associations present as well. So I worked alone. When I went to Guadalajara, I was accompanied by other colleagues. But at that time, at that opportunity, I was alone, and I spoke about 3 hours with more than 80 slides, and we covered everything related to ICANN. We covered information about the ISP industry, and I also spoke about XPs. That was a topic relevant for them, and this is a topic which is related to me in my everyday activities in Cavase. So these were the two face-to-face roadshows in which I participated. Then I have participated remotely in some other events. I remember there was one in the Caribbean region not long ago. But the most interesting thing is to tell you about these two experiences. I'm trying to read the slides. But I believe this is our task so far. What I would like to highlight is that these are not useless efforts. People get really surprised. They have no idea of ICANN. In case of our industry, especially, well, when it comes to ISPs, we need to overcome the barrier. I try to encourage them to come to ICANN meetings, because my task in our constituency is to try to encourage ISPs to attend ICANN meetings. But they always tell me the same. If it works, don't fix it. So, and it is your business. So this is unbelievable, really. But it's a long process. And I am very committed to this activity. I also belong to ICONLAC, and I also work in Cavase in terms of domain names and ISPs. So this is part of my activity. And I would like to say something, and I hope both Rodrigos don't get angry, but we are now launching .lat in association with NIC Mexico. And I was hearing some comments that this is on a speculative TLD, that is to say, this is aimed at our earning money very quickly. So I cannot laugh at this, because ICONLAC is a federation based on Uruguay. This is a nonprofit organization, and of course, I don't need to tell what NIC Mexico is. So if there is someone
someone in the meeting hearing this comment, well, of course, you know what we are talking about. And now I am open for questions. Thank you. Rodrigo Salcedo speaking. Thank you very much, Anthony. You have touched a very important topic, which was the objective, indeed, of this project. The word to evangelize, that is to say, the people we want to reach with these roadshows, are people who know very little about ICANN and its ecosystem. This project, at the beginning, had four projects, and they were all aimed at educating and teaching specific topics. One, it was related to IPv6, and the other topic was related to domain names. And there was a third one related to IPv6. So what we did was to group all these projects and had only one roadshow to guarantee that all regions that all sectors in the region would have a roadshow. So it was decided within the groups to have four annual editions of this roadshow. The first one was in the Caribbean region, in Mexico, for Mexico and the Central American region. For South America, it was held in Sao Paulo, together with a FutureCom event, and Bolivia was the last edition in La Paz. These were the 2014 editions. There was a total of 250 attendees. And this project, of course, is becoming more important. This year, the first edition was held in San Lucia in Carignog 9, together with Carignog number 9. And this is a very important event within the Caribbean region. So this is all about the roadshow. And now we invite Vanda to tell us about LACSpace.
Good morning. Buenos dias. Bon dia. Just adding something to Rodrigo. Rodrigo, we have done a lot of things in Brazil with Daniel this year, and I do believe that's part of this outreach that we should consider because it's done.
Of course.
We should add the event of Abranet, the event in the Ambrint. It's all events about convince people to become registrar, convince ISPs to sell.